to the fifth case. State of Illinois versus Hemi Group. Mr. Barnhouse.
And please the court, Randolph Barnhouse from Albuquerque, New Mexico, here on behalf of the appellant, the Hemi Group. This case is on interlocutory appeal to this court, the court having granted our petition to review the district court's denial of our motion to dismiss for lack of specific personal jurisdiction. The issue specifically is whether Internet websites alone that do not have a state-specific focus establish universal personal jurisdiction throughout the United States. Hemi asked this court to hold that something more than that is required for a state to have jurisdiction. We ask the court to reverse the district court and remand with instructions that the case be dismissed for lack of jurisdiction. The Internet is clearly a remarkable resource. It's put power into the hands of consumers. Consumers have more choices. They can compare products. They can decide where to shop. Opportunities for consumers unimaginable to most of us many years ago. With that individual choice have come challenges for state government. Government trying to control and, in this case, limit what products Illinois consumers can buy, and government that wants to tax those consumers on those purchases. The question is, if the state can't get its citizen consumers, customers, to comply with state law, can it reach out thousands of miles through cyberspace and regulate sales that admittedly occur thousands of miles away here on the Jemez Pueblo in New Mexico? Traditional personal jurisdiction concepts would require that the answer be no. Without something more, the Internet free market, without something more than a focused, neutral website, the Internet free market should not allow personal jurisdiction over everybody who participates in that market. And to decide the issue, the court must determine if operating a website is purposeful availment of the laws and protections of Illinois. A quid for a quo, as this court has said in other cases. Purposeful direction is a tort concept that neither this court or others have applied in contract cases or in jurisdictional cases, regulatory cases on the issue of jurisdiction. These websites were focus neutral. There's no dispute on that. There's nothing in the record that would indicate any focus on Illinois, any advertising in Illinois, any special treatment, any market plan to focus on Illinois.
What do you make of the idea, though, that New York is excluded?
Well, under a...
So you're saying you're not targeting Illinois. You know how to not target a state by excluding citizens of New York.
Certainly. In cases, in an instance of New York, for example, where there are other jurisdictional activities where a court would have jurisdiction because of this purposeful availment argument, then a vendor on the Internet might elect not to go into those states with a product. But that election does not impact Illinois. It doesn't. If Alabama, Florida, any state where the product perhaps wasn't sold wouldn't avail this vendor of the laws and protections of the state of Illinois.
Well, cigarette sales are always highly regulated, a source of tax income for states, so they have great interest in this.
Absolutely, but the interesting thing about this case here, Your Honor, is the district court said any product, that it was the website alone that established the jurisdiction. So the decision in this case, although affecting cigarettes, which actually are highly federal regulated, but the state regulation of cigarettes is very limited. This case will decide whether dolls or horses or blankets or anything sold on the Internet, whether a state can reach out on a focused, neutral Internet website and exercise universal jurisdiction over the vendor, over the operator of the website, without something more. And the other circuits that have looked at this case, and they're cited in the briefs, have consistently held that something more is required for there to be jurisdiction. The district court...
Can't there be different rules for things like cigarettes and liquor and things that are regulated as opposed to... I think you used an example. You said dolls.
Well, there, liquor is a specific. There's a specific constitutional, the 21st Amendment allows states that regulatory power. Insurance, McCarran-Ferguson. If Congress would act to provide states with specific regulatory authority for a product, then there might be. But Congress hasn't done that here.
I mean, this Jenkins Act, which I profess I didn't have much familiarity with until I looked at this case, but that act was passed to get at mail order cigarette sales.
Which demonstrates that Congress knows how to do that, Your Honor. It's not surprising you have little familiarity. There's not been a prosecution under it that I'm aware of or a reported case since the 70s, over 30 years ago. It was passed in 1947. It's a criminal statute that at its core, because it's a criminal statute, can't be a federal criminal statute, can't be enforced by the state of Illinois. But that's the only federal hook here. What the state's really after, the state has entered into a contract, the Master Settlement Agreement, which is a contract, with Big Tobacco to only allow, to protect their market share. And to do that, they have to diligently enforce those laws. And these are in the brief and cases cited, the Lorillard case, the South Dakota case. And so what the state of Illinois is doing here, and the three claims are violation of the Jenkins Act. There's no allegations of sales to minor. The state has tucked into that a requirement that you only sell to wholesalers if you're going to sell in Illinois. And then the third cause of action is a claim that there are cigarettes sold which aren't allowed to be sold or possessed in Illinois. Well, these sales didn't take place here. They took place on the Jemez Pueblo in New Mexico, and those sales were legal there. What the state's trying to do through these kinds of lawsuits is reach out to the vendor who's engaged in a legal activity. The sale of cigarettes are legal both in Illinois and in New Mexico. Reach through the Internet because they cannot regulate, they've not been successful regulating Illinois citizens in this regard, and stop it at its source where they don't have jurisdiction to do so.
Well, you see, the sales took place in New Mexico, but where is the buyer located?
In this instance, there were buyers located sitting in their chair at a computer terminal in Illinois. But if those same buyers had used the interstate as opposed to the Internet to make those purchases, and under the UCC, Your Honor, those sales did occur. Both the New Mexico and the Illinois Uniform Commercial Code confirm that the sales occurred in New Mexico and that the shipper, in this case the United States Postal Service, was acting as the agent of the buyer when they brought those to Illinois. And the Beers Across America case involved an Illinois seller that had sold beers into Alabama. And the court there held that the purchase took place here and that the state did not have personal jurisdiction. The Zippo case is the case that the district court turned to hold that the Internet web page alone was sufficient to have personal jurisdiction placed in Illinois. And Zippo was decided about 12 years ago, and it was a tort case. It was an intellectual property case. So it was a purposeful direction, not a purposeful availment, which is, of course, the higher standard. And in Zippo, it was an important case because up to that point, courts were moving in a direction of saying, if you're on the Internet, anybody can sue you anywhere in the world. And the Zippo court took a step back and looked at the facts of that case. And in that case, there was something more. That defendant had 7 contracts for services with the Pennsylvania Internet service providers.
You're in your rebuttal.
I am. In any event, the key that Zippo missed and the district court, Your Honor, is the way the Internet works. It's not the vendor reaching out. It's the consumer reaching out to buy. Thank you.
Thank you. Legner.
Thank you, Your Honors. Good morning, and may it please the Court, Mr. Barnhouse. My name is Brett Legner. I'm an Assistant Illinois Attorney General, and I represent the people of the state of Illinois in this case. Your Honors, this Court should affirm the District Court's denial of Hemi's motion to dismiss for lack of personal jurisdiction. The touchstone of the personal jurisdiction analysis is fairness. Is it fair for Illinois to hail Hemi into Illinois court for a violation of the Jenkins Act, Illinois Prevention Act, and Illinois Enforcement Act? Did Hemi have fair warning that it could be so hailed? Was there a purposeful availment? The facts of this case show that the answer is manifestly yes. Illinois' long-arm statute permits personal jurisdiction to the extent that due process permits. Due process requires sufficient minimum context. The minimum context have to be analyzed considering the nature of the litigation and the party's relationship. Hemi continually tries to raise the red herring that what's at issue here is a contract between a buyer of cigarettes and Hemi. But that's not the basis of this litigation. While those actions, Hemi's actions, are the basis, this isn't a contract case. This is a state trying to enforce regulatory statutes, both federal and state regulatory statutes. Why is it fair to hail Hemi into Illinois? Why are there sufficient minimum context? First, the Zippo sliding scale analysis, which is a useful tool to analyze how meaningful internet contacts are, strongly recommends finding personal jurisdiction in this case. The Zippo case measures the interactivity between the website operator, Hemi in New Mexico, and the purchasers, in this case, Illinois citizens. The greater the interactivity, the more connection there is between the New Mexico seller and the Illinois buyer, and thus the greater chance that there is a purposeful availment and a greater likelihood that personal jurisdiction should be or is permitted.
Well, the sale itself has to be initiated by the buyer, doesn't it?
The sale itself has to be initiated by the buyer ultimately, yes.
Yeah. So he writes, he notifies them on internet that he wants the cigarettes. They package it up and mail it to him.
That's true, though Hemi puts its internet sites out there first. That's the very first step. Hemi has 10 websites saying,
buy
cigarettes.
We've got the cigarettes available.
We've got these cigarettes available. We ship anywhere in the USA.
Yeah. That's an advertisement program.
It is an advertisement program.
And that, you think, creates sufficient contact to move them into Illinois or anyplace else?
That's part of it. That's not it. Just having an advertisement program is not necessarily sufficient, but there's a lot more here.
What else?
The fact that there's 10 websites, the fact that...
Why does that make a difference?
Yeah.
The more websites there are shows the greater intent or availment of Hemi to go out there and capture, essentially, business.
Well, I assume that when you advertise for something, you're trying to capture business.
Absolutely.
Do you think the amount of advertising creates the personal jurisdiction?
Absolutely. It shows the intent, whether they intend. It shows the level of intent to go out and get avail for Hemi to avail itself of a business opportunity. What is the business opportunity here? Selling cigarettes to people in Illinois. That is the business opportunity. The more websites there are, the greater the availment, the more advertisement there is. And there's an interactivity level. The buyer submits payment information, makes choices, submits those choices, but also creates an account with Hemi. And that
you
creates
say that the better the advertisement, the more likelihood of personal jurisdiction attaching?
The better the advertisement,
okay,
insofar as that results in more business with the state.
Well, with whatever, more business.
More business. Then the greater the fair warning that the seller should have that it may be hailed into that state. That's an element. Again, not isolated, not the only element.
How would it create that?
How would it create that fair warning?
Yeah.
Hemi knows its products are going to Illinois.
Good.
Hemi knows that a lot of its products...
Doesn't particularly give a damn whether it's going to Illinois as long as somebody's buying the products. Illinois is not a target state, is it?
Illinois is a target state. First of all, Hemi specifically says, look...
It's no different than the other 48, pardon me. I leave out New York.
If you went on to easytobacco.com today, you'd see that the no sale states list is now 10. Okay. So Hemi makes a state-by-state determination as to whether they're going to ship cigarettes to that state, whether they're going to avail themselves of the business opportunities in that state.
Is that part of the record here?
That is not, Your Honor, but the point of that, then, is if there aren't sufficient facts yet, we haven't been permitted jurisdictional discovery, certainly. I think that this is a website that you could take judicial notice of what it says today, but at the very least, if there aren't sufficient facts, permit us jurisdictional discovery so we can go to the website and show you the continued purposeful availment, or the continued analysis of whether HEMI is going to sell to this state versus this state versus this state. And again, the customers create an account, and that creates an ongoing relationship because HEMI provides repeat customers preferential treatment. Right? So it's an ongoing relationship between HEMI and its Illinois consumers. HEMI arranges shipping to the consumers. HEMI receives the order, goes to the warehouse, packages the order, places the slip on it, says this is going to Illinois, puts the postage on it, hands it over to you at the USPS to send to Illinois. HEMI knows where its cigarettes are going. Under the stream of commerce analysis that the Illinois Supreme Court adopted in the Gray case, or applied in the Gray case that's cited by the defendants, as well as the Jennings case from this court the plaintiff cites, if the party knows that it is sending into the stream of commerce an item, and that that item is going to go to a certain place, it is reasonable for that party to expect that it could be hailed into court there. Moreover, HEMI knows. It is absolutely reasonable. HEMI knows or should know that selling cigarettes is a highly regulated industry, both state and federally. HEMI contends that there's not much state cigarette limitation, but that's not necessarily true. Illinois has the Prevention Act and the Enforcement Act. It is reasonable, and HEMI understands this on its websites, indicating that purchasers have to look at independent state tax laws for cigarettes. For instance, HEMI's websites discuss applicable federal legislation. HEMI knows this is a highly regulated area. It is not unreasonable for HEMI, knowing that it's sending cigarettes to Illinois, it's not unreasonable for HEMI to understand that it's going to be subject to state and federal regulatory restrictions or conditions on those sales.
Before you sit down, purchases that are made by this agent here.
Yes.
So 400 Marlboros and 400 Newports.
Yes.
Is that individual cigarettes, packs of cigarettes, or cartons of cigarettes, or what?
If you look at the HEMI websites that are in the record, they generally sell by the carton, sometimes by the case, and so it's just broken
tell
down.
Tell me this: when he buys 400 Marlboros, is he buying 20?
He's buying a carton, 20 packs, assuming that a pack has 20 cigarettes in it, and a carton has 20 packs, which I don't know for sure. You know,
a carton had 10, but
I don't either, Your Honor, and I'm not sure. But he doesn't buy an individual cigarette. You buy it by the carton on the website, not even by the pack, the carton.
But so when you're saying he bought, for instance, on one day, 400 Marlboros.
Yes.
What did he buy?
20 packs.
20 packs.
20 packs.
Okay.
And again, it is, furthermore, the Jenkins Act imposes a contact. The Jenkins Act obligation imposes a contact. HEMI has to comply with the federal law. That federal law requires HEMI to submit a report to the state tobacco administrator explaining the sales of cigarettes into that state. And that statute provides the district court with jurisdiction to enjoin violations of that. It's not just a criminal statute. It gives the district court the power to enjoin violations of that statute. That obligation is an additional contact. If HEMI had complied with the Jenkins Act, we know a lot more about the nature and the extent of its contacts. But it hasn't complied. It would truly be anomalous for HEMI to not comply with that reporting requirement and then claim there aren't sufficient contacts because it's kept all the information away from us. If nothing else, that compels another reason why there should be jurisdictional discovery in this case. Your Honors, I'm out of time, but I'd just like to close briefly with the notion that it is not unfair to hail HEMI into Illinois. It knows that cigarettes are highly regulated. It knows that the cigarettes are going to Illinois, and it has purposely availed itself of the business opportunity to sell cigarettes to Illinois consumers. Thank you very much, Your Honors.
How much time? 1.5 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor. The touchstone of personal jurisdiction is due process of laws, Your Honor, not fairness. fairness is certainly one consideration, but the question does the due process provisions of the state and federal constitutions allow jurisdiction here? They do not. Were the courts to accept the invitation to go to those websites, you'd find that Hemi is out of the cigarette business. I don't know anything about those websites today, whether they have 10 or 20. That wasn't part of the record, but what is clear is it doesn't matter, because if they're not focusing on Illinois, if they're not saying if you live in Illinois, you get an extra 10% off, no advertising, you don't have that something more. State keeps asking for additional discovery. They had access to those websites for years and years and presented what they had to the district court. The fact is they were not able to show the something more that every other circuit court has required. There are 200, if somebody buys 400 sticks, they like to try to make it sound like a lot more than it is. That's two cartons of cigarettes, Your Honor. The stream of commerce theory is a tort theory about purposeful direction. It's not a purposeful availment analysis. Purposeful availment in regulatory matters requires more. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement.